I want to pray for the messenger as well, because I've been with 50 women all weekend long, and I'm running on fumes up here, so we should pray for the message. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, especially someone who is walking in a dark place. I ask that you would empower this by your Spirit to be a word for someone here. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week I did The Wizard of Oz, and it looks like a couple hundred people missed this service from last week. That's the way it is always after Easter, you know. You have all kinds of people that show up for Easter, and I really kind of did it like Jesus would do it. You know, he's told parables to people, and they said, why do you do that? He says, well, hearing they're entertained, but they don't always get the message. And if God wants them to, they'll get it, but sometimes they just show up around, and so I just tell them a story, and they like the stories. And I told you a story last week. The title of this message today is Easter for Those Who Walk with Jesus. And so I'm really talking to the people that aren't here on Christmas and Easter today. And I want to talk to disciples about something. This is your Easter message, by the way. This is what I would give to those who are disciples of Jesus. Let's look at this today. I have the scripture from Luke chapter 24 printed here. And did we pray? We did? Is that a yes or a no? Well, keep praying, because I can't remember things. I would like for us to read together verses 13 to 16 together. Here we go. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Two men walking down a road between Jerusalem and Emmaus, and it's after the crucifixion, and it's after the resurrection as well, and the resurrected Jesus comes and walks with them, but they don't recognize him. They were his disciples. Why didn't they recognize him? The same can be said of some of us. Sometimes the resurrected Jesus comes and walks with us. Why don't we recognize his presence? The reason we don't recognize Jesus is because we think our future is going to look like a mirror reflection of our past. We think our future will be something like what we have experienced before. Many times the reason that we don't recognize new life coming into our lives is because we have preconceived ideas of how things are supposed to be. The truth is, we don't know what the future looks like, so don't base your future on your past experience. One of the problems of recognizing new life possibilities that Jesus can bring to us is that what we need in our lives, in our dead situations, is covered up by what has gone before in our lives, and we live in the past. And so we miss some of the new things that God may be doing. We live in the past, and so we miss the new things, like these two disciples on that road to Emmaus. We can't imagine the possibility of new life coming into a hopeless situation or circumstance of our life. We can't imagine the possibility of new life in a relationship with a loved one, maybe a child, a parent, a husband, or a wife, a friend. We can't imagine the possibility of reaching the goals of our hearts because of the death of those hopes in our past. You see, the message of Easter and the resurrection is that Jesus has risen from the dead and he has come to bring new life to everyone who will receive him. Easter is not just the promise of life beyond death, But it also holds a second and really more immediate promise, that is new life now in this life. Easter is the promise of new life in ruined relationships, stifled expectations, broken spirits, quenched hopes today. And the message of Easter, the message of Jesus, is new life is in places where the possibility of life has been removed from the human experience. The God of resurrection moves into those dying moments, those dead situations and circumstances of our lives, and he will bring resurrection. Now, the problem is we miss its first appearance because we're looking for what we've known before. And we deny the possibility of something totally different happening. And yet, we get surprised, don't we? The message of Easter is that the reality of Jesus' life is more powerful than death. It is a power that will sustain us in life and bring new life where we would never expect to see it. That is the promise of Easter, but there's a danger that we will not recognize it when it appears. These two disciples didn't recognize Jesus. They knew him, but they didn't recognize him. And we can learn a few things from this event of the walk to Emmaus. The first thing is the simple fact that they didn't recognize Jesus even though they knew him. Why not? Why didn't they recognize him? Well, I think there are at least two reasons that they apply to us as well. First, his appearance was changed considerably. When Jesus went to the cross, he was pretty beat up, disfigured, somewhat in his personal appearance. I would say that was a rough period of time. What do you think? When they encounter the risen Christ, he is in a state of perfect health and wholeness. He would look different. Let me tell you something. I've been with these women for 3 days, and they look different each day. You go to a men's weekend, we always look the same. But he looked different, Jesus did. The second reason is that they certainly didn't expect to see him. I mean, after all, he was dead. And we get caught off guard if we see someone in a place where we don't expect to see them. I don't know if you've ever been on a trip where you've run into somebody that from your hometown or something, well, catches you off guard. There's a lesson we need to see here. It is possible to miss recognizing new life possibilities, Easter possibilities, you might say, in our lives, no matter how strong our faith may be or how well we think we know Jesus or how well we do know Jesus. The reason is the new life is something whole and healthy. We don't really expect it. And there may be somebody here today, and you have a long history of faith, and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but God may be bringing resurrection into a dead situation in your life right now, and you don't recognize it because it's too radical in its look, and you aren't expecting it. This message is not simply for people who haven't come to know the resurrected Jesus in a first-time encounter. This is a message for some of us who need to recognize that in this time of our lives, God is doing something, and it's radically different, something that we don't expect. Jesus Christ is approaching you where you are to introduce resurrection power into a dead situation in your life that you don't recognize. And the reason that you or I don't recognize it, we are living on past experience of what we know to be true, or at least what we think we know to be true. You can pass through this time in your life and miss the resurrection possibilities of Jesus in your life. These two disciples encountered Jesus, but he did not appear as they remembered him. And it wasn't until they sat down at a meal that night that they recognized him. And I think we do the same thing a lot of times. We can get our minds set on the way it is or the way we think it is, and then we miss so much because we just can't see anything different. We can get our minds set on the way it is. And we make up our minds. We say, you know, I have in my mind the way I expect new life to be. And we miss the way it's coming to us because it's totally different from the way we think. Now, I don't know about you. I wonder how many of us a lot of times are afraid to make a commitment to Jesus, either a first-time commitment or a recommitment or to commit a particular area of our lives to Him. And the reason is we already have in our mind what new life in Jesus would be like. And our idea of new life is based upon things we have seen in other people maybe, which don't really live up to what we think we want. Because it's based upon things we've seen in other people. Therefore, if new life is what you see in them, then you don't want it. Now, you need to listen here, because here, and hear what I say. If you want to recognize new life coming to you, it will be something that is distinctly you, but you can't imagine it. You will become more you than you have ever been before. You will come to understand the purpose of God that works in you in a way that you can't imagine, though. But it will still be you. This is true of every one of us. Each of us, though, must lay aside some preconceptions that we have about life. I know you've got it all figured out, but you might want to lay that stuff down. We have to give up the way that we see the world and realize that things can happen that we can't imagine based upon our past experience. We must be willing to recognize new life, Easter, resurrection possibilities, living on Jesus' terms rather than our own conceptions of things. Now, I hope you can hear this. There are so many points of application to our lives. So many times, we can't imagine things being restored in our lives because we just do not have the imagination to see it. Sometimes we can't even imagine restoration, but restoration is very different from resurrection. Restoration brings you back to where you were before, but a resurrection brings you to a place that you've never been before. Some situations and circumstances in our lives need resurrection, and it's not just a matter of restoration. In this scripture, these two disciples are walking to Emmaus, but they did not recognize new facts. Read with me verses 17 to 20. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him." These two guys are talking about their dead situation when Jesus walks up and he says, "Hey, what are these things you guys are talking about?" And Cleopas says, "Hey, buddy, are you a stranger? Where have you been? Don't you know what's going on?" And Jesus said, "What things?" And I love that. Jesus is entertaining their lack of perception. And they go on and they say, "Well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was," now notice the past tense, "who was a prophet, mighty indeed, before God and all the people." These are the facts that these men are living with, and they are past tense in nature. He was a prophet, Haven't you heard? They killed him. He's dead. It's all over. Haven't you heard? We thought he was going to save Israel, but it didn't happen. And these two disciples are repeating fact after fact after fact to Jesus. Now listen, the truth of the facts is that every single fact that they are reciting to Jesus, though true, are already overthrown in the presence of a greater fact, and that is, he is risen. He is risen, and the facts are that he is standing there with them. Jesus is a glorious statement of the truth of God's power in bringing new life. Don't let the facts of your past dictate your present or your future life. Don't let your history rule your life now or your future. Now, this message is for all of us, but it's also for some of us specifically at this time in our lives. This message may be for you. You have seen the power of God working in your life in the past, but today all you have is the memory of things that have happened. And you might be quick to say, you know, I know God's power is real. And you could probably give scriptural evidence or a past event, but somehow that past event doesn't really answer to your present need or your present condition or your present problem and frustration and pain and or dead circumstance that you're living in. And the message of the Lord Jesus is, today I've come to walk with you. I have come to be with you this day. And friends, he is inviting you to pull back the veil from your eyes so that you can say, hello, Jesus, I didn't recognize you. For these two disciples, they didn't recognize that all the failure of the past had been overthrown in the glory of what was happening in the person who just walked right beside them. They didn't recognize the solution of their problems walking with them. And they were sad. That's what it says. Read with me verses 21 to 24. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Now, verse 21 here says, we had hoped, or we trusted, basically. Verse 24 says, others were astonished, but we didn't see him. These two disciples illustrate a problem that is common to all of us. Times of depression and disappointment come to us. And I expect that all of us have trusted in someone at some time, and then we have been disappointed by them. I expect that there are a number of us here today who are afraid to trust God because, as we see the possibility in trusting him, we are also afraid of disappointment. And it is more likely a projection onto God of the past failure of someone else towards us. I've talked to a number of people who need to be brought to spiritual health over the years. But a lot of times they are afraid to trust God because they have imposed upon God the untrustworthiness that they have actually experienced in other people. These two guys are saying the same thing. We trusted that he was the one, but he disappointed us by dying. And he is the one that they are talking to, walking with them. He's the one. They don't recognize him as they tell him their problems of depression, of sadness, of disappointment. They said, we trusted him. Oh, we know that others are excited about resurrection possibilities. Some women of our group have said we have seen a vision of angels, but we haven't seen him. And friends, we who are gathered here are a modern day example of this very story. There are people here probably right now, and you can tell, I can tell you things that would astonish you. I could even talk to you about some vision of angels, or, and there are others of us who would be say, yeah, I know, but you know what? I don't get it. I don't see it. To me, it's just another idle tale. And I want you to see in these two disciples that neither depression nor disappointment nor doubt nor any number of things will keep Jesus from coming to you. He came to men who were anything but the picture of faith. You've heard it said by some that the only way you can get to God to be active in your life situation is if you exercise great faith. But I'm going to say to you that here in this picture of these two disciples is a picture of Jesus walking into a situation that is totally dead of faith. These two men were beaten down, discouraged, and living in despair. They are ruled by their history, by what had happened. They're talking about things as if they are all over. They are men who are afraid to trust. They are men who are dying in their own doubts. And even though somebody else has told them that God has done something, they haven't seen it and they don't buy it. They are so much like us, aren't they? Think of all the things that grip us, each one of us, yet, and praise be to God, Jesus came and he met them right in the middle of that dead situation. And just as he does it with these two guys on this short journey to Emmaus, he also comes and he walks with us on the roads of our lives, and sometimes we just don't recognize him. So how do you come to recognize the resurrected Jesus and the new life that he can bring? Well, there are two simple truths that are revealed in this story. These two disciples listened to Jesus, and then they invited him into their lives through a shared meal. First, they listened. Read with me verses 25 to 27. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now what they did is they listened. They listened. They probably had no idea what they were doing, but they did it anyway. They listened. It says that Jesus taught them. Beginning with Moses, and he taught them through all the scriptures about himself and what all this meant. Now you need to listen to me. Jesus himself took the word of God and opened the scriptures for these men to talk about himself. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is here today. And to somebody here, he says, "Let me draw back the veil that covers your eyes." To another, he said, "Let me remove your cataracts of fear." To another, he might say, "Let me remove the blinders of doubt and disappointment and despair." And to many of us, he says, "Let me remove the mask that has blinded you to new life and to new possibilities in that area of your life." And Jesus comes and he opens the word of God to us, and we need to listen to that word with our hearts. And it's more than me just standing up here talking to you. Granted, I'm just a human being and I'm talking to you, but the resurrected Jesus also comes to you with his word, and we all need to listen to that word. The second thing that these two disciples did was to extend an invitation to fellowship with Jesus. Read with me verses 28 to 31. "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. It says here that it appeared that he was going further, but they constrained him. They asked him to stay with them. I don't want what I'm about to say to sound threatening, but I also think that there's a certain little bit of warning that goes here in this scripture. It's kind of an ominous note that we all need to hear. You know, the Lord does come and he does talk to us and he does teach us and he speaks to us. And I think he's probably doing that right now to some of you here this morning. I just happen to be the vessel up here and the voice that you're hearing, but he's the author. And he comes along enough to speak to us of new life, new possibilities, new hope, which are available to us. But I want you to notice the next move is always ours, because we got the ball, so to speak. He's waiting for an invitation. So many times we talk about the invitation in church when people are invited to accept Jesus as their Savior and Lord, but I would like for you to see here that Jesus is waiting for an invitation. It appeared he was going further until those guys said, hey, why don't you stay with us? He's waiting for people to invite him to fellowship with them. It wasn't until they invited Jesus to sit down with them that they recognized him. In other words, the way we come to recognize Jesus is not only hearing the word, but inviting him to come where we are and giving him a chance to reveal himself in a way that we can really comprehend. I know that there's some of you, and you would say, well, I hear the word you are speaking to me, and it does speak to my circumstance. You also know that I'm just a vessel, I'm just a voice up here, and this is not just, but it's not just a human word at times. Sometimes we don't see it. If you remember, these guys didn't see it either. All they did was invite as much as they understood to fellowship with them. And I think the great principle of recognizing Jesus or new life or the power of God or resurrection in dead situations is not only hearing what he has to say, but also inviting what we hear into our situation so we can finally see the power of God in any of the circumstances of our life. The resurrection is now. It is not just doctrine. It is not just a day of the year when all kinds of people gather together. It's not just somebody else's testimony either. It's not just a promise, but it is reality of something that comes to happen to you and me, because not only do we listen to the word, but we give place to the word to happen in our own lives. Read with me verse 32. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Well, this is my prayer for you this day, that when you leave church and you sit around your noon meal, you can say, you know, were not our hearts strangely warm today as we walked with Jesus and we listened to him speak to our hearts? May God grant to you this day that new life. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would not only speak to us, but that you would come and live with us in our life situations. In Jesus' name, amen.